City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 357. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Canadian Deb Pierce, wanting to start off about, yay, Canada! Lipsticks!
Oh, Canada! We can all sing
Amy
it now.
Amy Matheny, I have a question for you.
Yes?
What have you learned about Canada after the Olympics that you didn't know?
I thought you were going to ask me, what have you done for me lately? That's what I thought you were going to say.
Are we going to talk about Janet Jackson's new documentary on trans women? We could talk about that.
Ooh, I don't even know about that. Let's definitely talk about that.
Yeah, just out.
Oh. About trans women?
Yeah, trans women. She co-produced it.
Male to female?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I will, as we speak and I gloat, I will Google the information from my sources.
Yeah. What I know about Canadians, mostly I've learned from you. I did not learn from the Olympics, that you're very generous of spirit, very fun, loving, very gracious, attractive. See all these things I learned from you, Deb.
This comes at a good time. I appreciate you a lot. I'll stop floating. I'll stop floating now.
No, I'm serious. I mean, well, here's what I can say.
Okay.
I think it was enormous how the country, Canada, really just rose to the occasion and rose to the moment and spoke to your country in that way, having not won any golds, I think, right, in the couple of Olympics preceding to then on home ground win more gold medals than any other country. I also have to say a missed opportunity to have probably the most famous Canadian, according to me, which would be Celine Dion, sing at your opening or closing ceremonies. Don't understand that. Huh?
She refused. She was offered both. And in the closing ceremony, she said, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to get impregnated in an American hospital.
I'm sorry. She said, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Actually, she said, I am sorry, I cannot. I'm trying to get pregnant in an American type facility called the hospital.
Yes, you sound just like her.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And then what about the Shania Twain? She's not a Canadian
anymore?
All
these women don't live here. Shania lives in like Switzerland or something.
Yeah.
Celine lives in Vegas. And frankly, she is they're our biggest exports. But, you know, other people still have places here. Anne Murray, who I professionally impersonate, she was one of the flag bearers for the Olympic flag. I thought she looked very handsome in her suit. She's still a Canadian. Donald Sutherland was there. He is a big actor, but he still you can tell that he still has roots here in Canada.
Yep.
Of course, his son, Kiefer Sutherland, always the consummate consummate Canadian, even though he's doing so well, or was doing so well in 24. So I hear what you're saying, and I felt that too. And the two-bit, you know, no names that closed that show, I got to tell you what, whatever ball we held high over our head for the Olympics, we dropped it on the closing ceremonies. I thought they were terrible.
Well, I just, now let me say, great job, Katie Ling.
Yeah, oh,
representing
God, shivers, right?
Barefoot and center stage. But here's the thing. They did no close-ups of her. They could not more wide-angle lens film her on NBC than, I mean, it was like an aerial satellite. I don't know what they were scared of, but
She has gained a bit of weight.
It was quite
you
funny.
You know, my friend John Kenyon, who works in sales for Proud FM, said, wow, Keanu Reeves looks different. I thought that is not nice, and yet a little bit true.
Yeah.
So that was great, and of course, doing Leonard Cohen, who's also Canadian, yeah, covering his film. It was just his song just made it doubly Canadian. So,
yeah.
But those closing ceremonies, just terrible. I had to turn them off. I found them so laughable when William Shatner came out looking like he was going to explode.
Yeah.
God, Michael J. Fox, of course, great. But then the weird, uncomfortable moments of Catherine O'Hara, who hasn't had any work done, right? That was just weird, and it was Canadian content humor, but the cheekiness, as far as comedic timing, I didn't think was necessarily synonymous with Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it just felt weird. It just felt weird. Michael Bublé was great, but, yeah, I just didn't like it. I love the opening ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, loved those.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's hard to do those things. I don't know where those people stay off in a cave somewhere going, okay, I have millions of dollars and a lot of lights and fabric.
Yeah, $40 million,
what do I want to do?
Right.
And I have to say that the bar has been set so high by China that no one of us are even going to come close, because if communism gives you anything, it's a really great show of millions of minions. So, I mean...
How many Chinese people were injured during the making of the...
Terrifying.
Really, and listen, there were probably a lot of Asian people involved in the making of this. I mean, you know, the head producer was from Australia. So the whole thing about the venue is one thing, but the international flair that everything comes together was of course brilliant.
Yeah,
and you and I spoke the day of the opening, the tragedy of the George and Bob's letter.
Correct.
No, and your astute observation of just how much more dangerous Winter Olympics are comparatively.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, suck it up, whatever, it's part of it. And then this terrible tragedy.
Yep.
What's
amazing too is this became kind of a hot Olympics, because there were a lot of hot skiers in this Olympics, from, you know, the Bodie Miller to the whichever one you liked of the two gold and silver medalist, Julie Mancuso or Lindsey Vonn. If you like blondes, you like brunettes. I mean, a little something for everybody.
Boy, would I take either of them. Hello.
I was like, when did like 17 models become the best skiers in the world?
Right?
Kind of insane, but...
Yeah, we had a skeleton woman, Hollingsworth, and she was apologizing to the world for letting Canada down. And I was like, "That you're good. It's you've got a future. You've got a real future on the cover of magazine." Like these... And I was an athlete in high school. I got to tell you what, none of the girls that I was on sports would look like that.
Well, I mean, in all the U.S. hockey teams seem to have like a 7-inch hair length requirement. I was really cracking up. We're like, where are the butches? Where are the Stone Cold butches on the USA hockey team?
Did you notice when they were receiving their silver medal that they were wearing makeup? Like, they were wearing makeup during the game,
these
women.
It's very funny. You know, it's very a league of their own, where in the film they're all learning etiquette and makeup and hair. I feel like it's the same. It's the same today for
it
women
is.
In
and
sports.
You're right. You're right. You're right. And but they're wearing like these little gold necklaces. And who knows what color their nails are and what length their nails are underneath those big stinky gloves. Now I'm thinking about that. Now we need to change the subject because that's getting hot.
Well, you know,
can I backtrack it for 1 second? That I've done the research that I promised at the beginning of this.
Yes, about Janet Jackson and the trans women.
That's right, executive producing. It's a documentary about tranny living. It's called Being T, and it's a slice of life documentary.
Okay.
In New York City. And they actually do, it's really open, and they talk about whether they choose sex work or 9-to-5, going to school, learning from the streets, that kind of thing. It's called Being T.
Huh. And is it going to be on HBO or on television or in the movies?
It doesn't say in this release. There's a trailer that I have yet to watch because Being T, to me, also conjures testosterone, and I don't know that she covers the female to male in this. So I think the title of it is a little misleading.
Uh-huh.
With Being T, of course, the tranny living, more about female trans, more than just 12 male to female transsexuals.
Yeah. Interesting.
You know? I don't know where it's going to get covered. It might be in film festivals, but it's Janet Jackson, for Christ's sake. I mean,
Janet Jackson.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
We like it when she's nasty.
Yeah,
holding on to the velvet rope, Miss Jackson. So here's the interesting thing that the Olympics kind of spurned in me, if that's the right word, inspired, spurned, kicked me in the ass about, is you're watching these people and yes, whether they've had makeovers or whatever, they look glowing and they look healthy and they just look like, wow, they look that good because they work out and they're in shape. And, you know, so I kind of upped my tennis regimen a little bit,
not a lot,
but I'm a little bit of progress here and there. And I discovered on my TiVo, which does have a brain and seemed to be in sync with me and make suggestions sometimes of things you might like. And
it's creepy, but
it's creepy and godlike. And I'm like, usually I go through my suggestions in my TiVo and I start deleting them because I really don't want to watch the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air circa, you know, 1997. And, and so, but one thing was on there and it said something about, it was some sort of, you know, great abdomen, abs, shoulders, thighs. And I was like, huh, what is this? Click on it. You know, miracles do not cease. I learn more and more about my TiVo. There is a channel in the States on my TiVo called Fit TV. Do you have this?
Not that I know of, but you better believe as soon as we get off the phone, I'm going to look.
Okay. Well, it's in the 200s here on the Comcast, but so it's called Fit TV, and I kind of went to the guide and I see all the different things they have 24 hours a day. Every hour it's like yoga for an hour and then, you know, basic ballet with Pilates and core work and, you know, whatever. And you click on it, and as I started recording a few of these, and you know, it's like yoga on the beach somewhere, or this Pilates ballet in a neat little studio with a tight little former dancer, skater, gymnast thing. And and I am like, wow, this is like fitness porn. I kind of like this. Like, I don't even have to do anything. I have a huge-ass coffee table that would kill me if I tried to, like, bend over in my living room. It's made of marble, so not good if you run into it. So I don't know where I will start doing Fit TV if I do, but it's so inspiring just to watch others do it. I just, you know, I feel good for them. And, you know, maybe I'll start doing it. I don't know.
I think it's a good idea. It's funny at this time of year because, of course, we're into March and New Year's resolutions leave it to you and I to potentially balk the idea that everyone else might be doing a January 1st health regime. But at work, it's come up that a personal trainer wants to come in and talk to somebody and work with them 2 days a week for 13 weeks. Now, I want to start this next week, and quick math says that'll end up just before Pride.
Yeah.
Where I will have my before and my after body,
yep.
And I'm totally into it.
Yep. We're in the 90 days. We're in the 90-day stretch to June, which is summer. So I'm in it to win it. I am going to do my first ever cleanse. So these podcasts might sound drastically different when I'm loopy and high from lack, from hunger. Because I am not a nice person to be around hungry, but my partner is almost 30 days smoke-free, so it's my turn next. That's what I can tell you.
Congratulations, Kelly. Nice
I know,
done.
Right?
Yeah.
Really, really genius. And we're going to the beach here coming up. So I think I've got one more podcast before we're lying on a beach. And I don't really care about my body on the beach when I'm halfway away from the United States. But when I come back and it's like Edgewater Beach and I might bump into people I see and know, I got to get it into gear before June. That's all I can say.
Yeah, what do you, okay. See, people work out and diet to have your body. Yours is an end period. Mine's a beginning. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, it's not.
Yes, that's a true story. People do crazy exercise regimens to get to your body, which is, yours is an end result. It's not
no,
a beginning.
No, no, no. Look, hey, I'm not crazy. I don't think I'm fat or huge or anything like that. I have no neurosis about my weight. It's more about a feeling of health and fitness. So I really do like the word fit. I don't really want to be skinny. I've never wanted to be skinny. I might say thinner, but I just want to feel fit. You know, it's about a, I can tell as I increase my tennis play, as I do some Pilates, or I've just never been a gym bunny. I don't like gyms. I don't like the social atmosphere. I don't like the cruising atmosphere. And I know all of you guys listening, that's exactly why you go. But,
yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. And you know what? My co-host at Proud FM, Patrick, goes and works at this gym, and he will always, and now it's almost an assumed punchline, but he will go there and talk about how beautiful these people are, and then he'll go into detail and be like, and there was this one in the corner working it so hard and turned around, it was a woman. He keeps cruising all these beautiful bodies who are owned by women.
Yeah. Well, and look, I am very attuned to the idea that if you like to look at hot, beautiful people and you get off on that, which many of us do, if that gets your feet there to the gym,
mm-hmm.
That's a great motivation. You know,
absolutely.
If there's somebody,
that's all you need.
I mean, if you're in a relationship and you like to kind of fantasize about the girl that you normally see on the treadmill at 6 o'clock. Three nights a week, and that's what gets you there, then go get your rocks off. Yeah.
That sounds very specific.
Well, I don't go to a gym, so that's not my scenario, but you
no,
know.
No, but we've heard it so many times that you know, it's out there for sure.
It's out there. And I don't know. I think everything's going to change once I come back from Mexico, because that's when the cleanse is starting. That's when the new fitness is starting. I'll have a little bit of tan. I'll have some relaxation. I will have read some books. I will have cleared away some, you know, mental and spiritual cobwebs and added a layer of sunshine to my
I like
skin.
How that sounds.
It feels good, right?
Well, yes, it does feel good. And if you, the whole healthy body, healthy mind thing, the whole direct correlation, it's not up for debate, you know?
Yeah.
As soon as you start to feel better about that, you start to just, your outlook just tends to be better. Yeah. Now, after you and I talked, the day after the Olympics were opening here in Canada, I went to the States for a week, to South Beach.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't very warm, but boy, did we make the best of it. We made, we kind of chased the sun and chased the heat as much as we could. And without getting into detail about it being what we're affectionately calling the Murphy's Law vacation, where everything that could did go wrong.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, don't even get me started. But it was the sun that really just breathes a little bit of life back into you. The vitamin D thing, not to be
mm-hmm.
underestimated.
Yeah, not to be underestimated at all.
No.
Yeah, and just reconnecting with my spirit and calm and wind and sand, it's good. It's a good thing.
Are you going to start singing like an Indigo Girls song?
I might. Actually, it's a pretty good tie-in to our interview today. I had the opportunity to sit down and speak with this amazing man. He's a minister, he's a speaker, he's a teacher, he is really a unique spirit, and his name is Mark Anthony Lord, and he is the founder of the Bodhi Spiritual Center here in Chicago, and he's also the creator and founder of this conference that's happening in Los Angeles here in April. In the States, and I wanted to do this interview early so that many of you, you know, could either find a way to get to LA, or if you're around and near LA, you can plan to drive in, because it's really going to be amazing. It's called Liberation 2010, and it is a GLBTQ spirituality conference. People of all faiths and metaphysics and you know, a gathering of our community in a very unique way. And I think a very necessary way for the change and the hurdles that still lie before us as a community. So we're going to be talking about Liberation 2010 and spirituality in the GLBT community. And so Mark Anthony's on the show. Deb Pierce still with me. We're going to go to some news and what's going on in the theater scene. And then Mark Anthony Lord here on the Queercast.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Huh. Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
U.S. Representative Eric Massa, the Democrat from New York, has resigned from Congress as the House Ethics Committee is investigating claims against him. Massa had planned to resign at the end of 2010, citing a recurrence of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma as the reason. However, a male staff member has said that Massa sexually harassed him, a claim he denied. Massa's chief of staff was concerned that he showed a pattern of meeting young gay men, and head Democrats were allegedly aware of related complaints about Massa for some time.
In Virginia, Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli II has sent letters to the state's public colleges and universities asking them to rescind policies banning discrimination based on sexual orientation. He argued that only legislators can extend legal protections to gay and lesbian state workers, students, and other individuals. Most officials have declined to publicly comment on the letter.
Scientists have discovered that HIV can hide in certain bone marrow cells and emerge in certain situations. The results provide a better understanding of how HIV hides in the body. Moreover, the findings could lead to approaches about killing or at least controlling the virus.
In Colorado, Boulder's Sacred Heart of Jesus Catholic School has denied a preschooler readmission because the child has lesbian parents. The Archdiocese of Denver issued a statement that read, "To preserve the mission of our schools and to respect the faith of the wider Catholic community, we expect all families who enroll students to live in accord with Catholic teaching. Parents living in open discord with Catholic teaching in areas of faith and morals unfortunately choose by their actions to disqualify their children from enrollment."
Pro-gay University of Maryland wrestler Hudson Taylor won the 197-pound class at the Atlantic Coast Conference tournament. Taylor wore a Human Rights Campaign sticker on his headgear and proposed to his girlfriend the night they saw the film Milk. Taylor qualified for the NCAA championships in Omaha this month.
Republican California State Senator Roy Ashburn, who has voted against gay rights bills since winning office 8 years ago, has officially come out of the closet just days after he was charged with driving under the influence upon leaving the Sacramento gay club Faces with a male companion. Addressing his voting record, Ashburn said that his votes reflected how his constituents felt. He did not say if he agreed with the public.
In California, San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom is expected to announce that he's running for lieutenant governor of that state. Newsom, a fierce marriage equality supporter, left the governor's race after polling low against fellow Democrat Jerry Brown, who is in the gubernatorial race.
In Rhode Island, openly gay Providence Mayor David Cicilline is running for the congressional seat that current U.S. Representative Patrick Kennedy is vacating. He would become the fourth out member of Congress if elected to the seat.
The ACLU has filed a suit against a Mississippi high school that canceled its prom instead of allowing a lesbian student to attend with her girlfriend and wear a tuxedo to the event. The ACLU is asking that the prom be reinstated for all students at the school, citing the First Amendment right to freedom of expression. The prom was originally scheduled for April 2nd.
In world news, In Argentina, Buenos Aires judge Felix Gustavo de Irgazabal has declared the marriage of two gay men null and void and reversed an earlier decision by Judge Elena Liberatore that allowed the couple to marry at the city's civil registry office on March 3rd. Alex Freyer and Jose Maria Di Bello were the first same-sex couple to wed in Argentina.
Almost two-thirds of Danes support same-sex couples being married by the church. Denmark allowed same-sex civil unions in 1989. However, the parliament is currently divided over amending the law to allow religious weddings as well.
The Supreme Court of Gibraltar will soon decide if the unequal age of consent for gay individuals is unconstitutional. The ages of consent in Gibraltar, a British territory, are 16 for heterosexuals and lesbians, but 18 for gay men. The case is considered groundbreaking because it will mark the first time the government will seek a judge's view on a constitutional issue.
Cuba has started paying for gender reassignment surgery. Actually, they've been paying since 2008. Former President Fidel Castro saw sexual diversity as a byproduct of capitalism. Under his rule, many gay men were re-educated, quote-unquote, in labor camps.
In entertainment news, openly gay actor John Barrowman may be moving from the hit TV series Desperate Housewives to another popular show, Glee. His character, Patrick Logan, on Desperate Housewives, Barrowman described as the most evil character they've ever introduced to the series. He also revealed that his natural hair color is completely white, instead of the dark hair that millions of viewers have seen. He has been coloring his hair for years at the request of his civil partner, architect Scott Gill.
Barbara Walters says she regrets ever asking singer Ricky Martin about his sexuality and calls her line of questioning regarding his sexuality inappropriate. In 2000, I pushed Ricky Martin very hard to admit if he was gay or not, and the way he refused to do it made everyone decide that he was, Walters said. A lot of people say that destroyed his career. Martin has not publicly commented on his sexuality.
Is figure skater Johnny Weir just too much for the Stars on Ice tour? The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation says tour sponsors, including Smuckers and IMG Entertainment, are not allowing Weir to participate because he is not family-friendly. Weir has not publicly discussed his orientation.
Cynthia Nixon, the star of Sex and the City, has taped a video to support Fight Back New York, a new political action committee that targets New York legislators who voted against same-sex marriage. In the ad, Nixon says, "I'm a lifelong New Yorker, but I don't have the rights that most of my friends and neighbors do. I'm engaged to the woman I love, but on December 2nd, the New York State Senate voted against my right to marry her. That's why I've decided to fight back. I'm supporting Fight Back New York so that we can finally show these anti-equality state senators that there are consequences to their actions, that they can lose their seats for voting against our rights."
Is actor Alec Baldwin either gay or bisexual? E! Reporter Ted Casablanca has published several articles that allude to Baldwin's sexual orientation, and even details Baldwin allegedly trying to pick up actor Jake Gyllenhaal at last year's Golden Globe Awards. In October 2009, Casablanca also alluded to Baldwin hiring male prostitutes.
Actress Betty White, age 88, will host Saturday Night Live on May 8th, an episode that will include a reunion of six female ex-cast members, including Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, and Maya Rudolph. White had previously rejected offers to host three times over the years.
And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
And go! Hi, this is Katie Lang. You're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
weird,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 15th, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
The Harris Theater hosts one of Broadway's biggest names in March. Tony Award-winning actress Christine Ebersole performs a concert of Broadway favorites one night only, March 25th. Visit harristheaterchicago.org. Tickets are going fast.
Court Theater presents The Illusion, a story of theatrical magic, outrageous humor, and true complicated love. Directed by Charles Newell of Caroline or Change, The Illusion features some of the finest performers in Chicago theater. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit courttheater.org.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Christopher Hampton's seductive drama, Les Liaisons Dangereuses, running through March 2nd at the Greenhouse Theater Center, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. Set in the salons and boudoirs of pre-revolutionary France, two high-powered friends devise a game to test their skills as rapacious lovers. For more information, visit remybumpo.org.
Hey, big spenders. Spend an evening with Chicago's top music and theater conservatories. Roosevelt University presents Vivid 2010, a night with the Chicago College of Performing Arts, featuring four jazz combos and selections from the Broadway hit Sweet Charity. March 23rd at the Auditorium Theater. Reserve your free tickets today at roosevelt.edu/ccpa.
The Brother Sister Plays by out playwright Terrell Alvin McCraney is the theatrical event of the Chicago winter, says the Tribune. Three interconnected plays, which the New York Times raves, you experience something rare, a new, authentically original vision. Visit steppenwolf.org for tickets to the Brother Sister Plays.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical Million Dollar Quartet. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com, playing now through May 30th. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
I closed my eyes and you were gone. There was nothing left for us to say. You felt it's time. We should move on. I will never be the same again. This all happened long ago. The white feels to me like yesterday. You chased your dreams.
There's something exciting happening in early April in Los Angeles, and for our listeners in the California area, I think this should be something you should run, don't walk to. And many of us, why I'm airing this interview here in March, is maybe you want to try to travel to Los Angeles. Lots to do in the GLBT scene out there. But a big conference will be happening April 8th through the 11th in Los Angeles. There will be a big spirituality conference for the LGBTQ community called Liberation 2010. And Mark Anthony Lord is an author, a speaker, minister, teacher, and more. He's a leader in the spiritual community and founder of the Bodhi Spiritual Center here in Chicago. And I was just thrilled to have Mark Anthony on to talk with me a little bit about Liberation 2010 and what it means for the GLBTQ community. Hey, Mark Anthony, how are you?
I am so good. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm thrilled to be here.
I am thrilled to have you on. And I don't know how in my 10 years of radio you and I have never spoken, but it is long overdue.
Yes.
So tell me, just so we can, where were you raised?
I was raised in a suburb of Detroit in Michigan, and went to Western Michigan University for my undergrad, and then lived here in Chicago from 88 to about 95, and then moved out to L.A. And was out there for around seven-ish years, and then moved back to Chicago in 2003.
So growing up in Michigan, what was your early connection with spirituality or an experience of God or something larger than yourself? When did you connect?
You know, it's interesting. That's a great question because I think I was very connected as a very sensitive little gay boy to God and to all of that stuff. But, you know, as early as 3 or 4 years old, I think for many of us, for me, it was like, oh, there's something wrong with me. I've got to hide this. And the God quickly got connected with that. So the God that I knew as a very early child really became this, like, I am in trouble. to this God. You know, this God is my father who's going to punish me, and I'm gay inside, and that's a sin, and that's bad, and no one I see is like me, and I'm made fun of. And the God who, you know, my whole family's worshiping, which was we were raised Catholic, that God was not my God. So although I was very spiritual and musical, I, as many people do, I threw the baby out with the bathwater. I threw it all out and just assumed I wasn't. And I was like, you know, screw you, God. If you don't want me, I don't want you. And that was a lot of my experience as a child. So, you know, it didn't start waking up in me until my mid-20s when really by pain was pushing me to find a sense of God, a sense of higher power, because I was going to die from sex and drugs, and actually got into 12-step recovery at about age 25. And that's when really my life started turning around. But before that, I was sort of the, I had a lot of creativity, a lot of love in me, a lot of passion, but I didn't know where to put it.
So there was a rejection somehow in your teens. Was that when you became more... It became more clear to you that you were gay, I mean, and you were coming out? When did you come out?
I didn't come out until I was around 18. I was one of the, like, after high school, actually. I threw my hat up in the air, graduation, and ran and found the gay bars.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
But, you know, yeah, exactly. But before, and this is interesting, a lot of people assume that, you know, being gay is around sex, our sexuality, but... You know, at age 3 and 4, I knew something was different. Something was not okay within me, and that had nothing to do with sex because, you know, that didn't awaken in me until puberty. But, you know, it was just a lot of pain of feeling like who I was wrong, which is what shame is. You know, guilt is I did something wrong. Shame is I am wrong. And I think a lot of LGBTQ people walk in that deep sense of, like, there's something wrong with me from our childhood. So, you know, I'm not sure. I think it was just a whole long process in my childhood of just, like, not really getting God and thinking God didn't get me.
Mm-hmm. Did you have an aha moment where you felt the reconnect, or you indicated that there was desperation, drugs, sex, that you got into 12-step recovery? Was that really the aha and the reconnect for you, or was there something before that moment of desperation?
You know, I think it was that moment. It was like, you know, being, you know, down and out and really killing myself, and then landing in 12-step recovery, where I quickly learned that I had better get what they call in 12-step program a higher power. I better get a higher power that's going to save my life. And I knew, somehow I knew, like, the God that I have in my mind, that was not going to save me. So I knew I was in a huge crisis. And then I went away to a treatment center up in Canada for 30 days. And that treatment program was truly like a miraculous intervention, because they were so spiritually based, and they started teaching me about a God that loved me as I was. And I also started going to Unity Church, which is in Chicago, way back in the late 80s, early 90s, with the founders, Mike and Sarah Matoy, who were brilliant. And so I started finding people that were talking about a God that actually was okay with gay people. And that's when I started to shift and started to have healing. But it was a long process, you know, because there was a lot of deep wounds around religion and me being gay.
Do you like or dislike the term of reconciling our faith?
Well, that's a great question. Do I like reconciling our faith? I like, let's see how I say it, requalifying our faith or...
rediscovering or...
Yeah, because, you know, reconciling.
Phrase that you always hear, you know? I mean, maybe in Judeo-Christian and even for Dignity Chicago, you know, the Catholic people raised Catholic, you know, that there's this thing of we reconcile to our faith, or they are reconciling churches that are welcoming. Do we need to be welcomed? Do we need to be reconciled?
Well, you know, I... we don't need to be. The churches need to be. That's just the truth. The churches need to get in gear and realize that God is so beautiful in the LGBTQ world. And I think that the churches need to reconcile their own relationship with God and get current and get real and get into the mystical truth and oneness that all religions teach.
Yeah.
For us as LGBT people, we just need to allow ourselves the healing within our own souls. And to discover the God of our own being, because once you have that, it doesn't matter what religions say about God. When you have your own relationship, when you have your own, and when I say God, by the way, I mean love, source, higher power, universe. I don't care what word you use.
Right.
But when you have your own living relationship with it, it no longer, it's like the churches can scream in your face all day long who they say God is and isn't. But if you know yourself, it doesn't matter.
Well, and people who have listened to me over the years know that spirituality and homosexuality has been a big mission of mine, or a thing to stay vocal about, because I have always felt that, kind of what you said, my story is very different from yours, but I often said, not that I threw the baby out with the bathwater, but I did that with any kind of structure, any kind of community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it is something lacking in the LGBTQ community is that we have denied ourselves a spiritual community. We have given ourselves a sexual community and not a spiritual community.
You are so right on that. And that is what is keeping the LGBT community. That's where I think a big heal and peace will come forward, because we are in a civil rights movement.
Yes.
And there's a new wave of it, and it's ours. It is the LGBTQ people. And my focus, you know, I want to be a part of the civil rights movement. I am. I think all of us who were born as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer people, at our spirit level, we signed up to come and be a part of the civil rights movement.
Right.
And I love the people that are marching in Washington. I love the people that are changing the laws. I love those people who get out there on the streets. I am the person who wants to help people change their insides, because I believe we have to get our consciousness and ourselves lined up with our own wholeness and our own integrity and our own greatness. And then when we step out into the world to change the laws, we will be able to live in those laws and match those laws within our own being.
Now, you call it gay spirituality, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is, I think for a lot of us, we've separated, I'll say, our spirituality and our sexuality live on opposite ends of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And I actually believe our sexuality and our spirituality resound on the same chord. They are the same tone. They are so, our passion, our fabulousness, our spirituality, our gayness, and our God, it's one. And so to bring our gayness and our spirituality together and live both beautifully creates a whole person. And a whole person is a happy person. And a happy person, I feel like I'm doing a commercial, a happy person makes a difference in the world.
Do you think that, maybe this is a redundant or rhetorical question, because I think I know what your answer will be, but do you think our biggest hurdle within the GLBT community and the queer community is actually within the GLBT and queer community, that it's not something outside of us, but it's about us coming together and healing ourselves? Because we see the high rates of depression and alcoholism and drug addiction and sex addiction and people not happy with their lives and bitterness and sadness and isolation, whether people are out or closeted.
Yeah,
is that really our hurdle, as opposed to same-sex marriage or... you know, not that that's not valid, not that employment's not valid, but if we fix these internal things, do you think that's our biggest hurdle?
Well, you know, as a spiritual teacher and as a minister, that's where I operate from. So, you know, I would say yes to that in a lot of ways, because the world, and this is very like high metaphysical teaching for some people, but the world is simply your reflection. What you see in your life is your mirror. What you're doing, we're always projecting our beliefs and our consciousness onto our day-to-day activities. I mean, that's a big concept that we could have three shows about.
Yeah.
But because that's true, what I know in my own life and what I know for everyone is that as we heal our thoughts as we challenge our beliefs about being broken, and as we not, and I don't mean like a lot of people shove them under the rug and then try to overachieve. That's what happens. A lot of gay people are not willing to look at the shadows. And because they're not looking at the shadows, they become overachievers, they become hypersex, they become, you know, and yet at the end of the day, they still have that emptiness. And so it's that emptiness that we're running from, but it's that we need to stop running, turn around, and walk into the emptiness. And when we do that together as a community, that emptiness will heal. It will transform, and a beauty will be born out of that emptiness. So I say yes to that. And, of course, the changes in the world have to take place. But what I'm aware of, and this is what I think I invite a lot of LGBTQ people to consider, I'm on board with getting in the lines and making these differences, and I will spend my life with a lot of people helping to make the world a better place for LGBTQ people. And most changes probably won't be occurring until after I'm dead. Or at least into the later part of my life.
Oh, you're so, very young. You're being dramatic, but it's okay.
No. I think this is a 100-year endeavor. I'm really serious. Like, I think 100 years from now, it will be a different world. The work we do now for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years is really important work. My point is, I'm not going to wait 40 years to be happy.
Right.
I'm not going to wait 20 more years for marriage laws to pass in every state. I don't think it'll take that long. I don't mean to curse us.
Yes.
But I don't want to wait. I don't want anyone to wait for the world to change for us to feel happy and whole and at peace with ourselves. That's the point I'm long-windedly trying
to
make.
No. It's a good point. And you know, it's interesting because you mentioned that this is a big metaphysical conversation, and you know, definitely we could have the tenor of this being that people need to change to some new kind of spirituality, that we have to reject, you know, our families, churches, Judeo-Christian thought, or Catholic, if we feel that that's our family of faith. And yet you wrote a book called Seven Last Words of Jesus. So I just want to say that, you know, because I think there's two things that could happen here. Some people could say, okay, we're talking about, you know, New Age, the metaphysical, something that doesn't involve the faith in which I was raised. That may be true, and that's an option. And then there are some people who do want to find a home and a way within texts and creeds and services in which they are familiar with from their church of origin. Can you talk a little bit about why you wanted to write a book about the seven last words of Jesus and what that was about?
Absolutely. It's actually called the seven living words.
Sorry, seven living words.
Which are about the seven last words of Jesus.
Yes, sorry about that.
No, that's okay. But I want to comment too, because I really appreciate what you're saying. It's an individual journey. I, in finding the God of my being, did not return to my Catholic faith.
Right.
I was called to be in a new spirituality concept. I'm not in a religion. My spiritual center is Bodhi Spiritual Center, is a trans-denominational spiritual center where we don't have religion or dogma here. We do have spiritual teachings. That was my path. But every single person has their own journey. One person will be called back into their faith and going back in there as a gay person who will help change it. Other people will leave it to build new ideas.
Right.
So there is no right or wrong. I'm glad you emphasize. That's what I hear you're emphasizing.
Yes. Just saying that for some people it's moving on to a new path, and for others it's about finding your place right where you are.
Yeah,
perhaps.
And I'll tell you, I had a profound experience of even just a couple months ago. I was working with one of my spiritual teachers, and he was talking about me being Catholic, and I said, I'm not Catholic. And he paused. He said, well, the 11-year-old inside of you is. And I was so like, wow, he's totally right.
Right.
I, as a man, am not Catholic, but we have aspects of ourselves.
Correct.
From our childhood that are precious and important, and we can't throw those away. We need to love those into place too.
Correct.
So that was a big healing for me. I wrote the seven living words because I am a huge Jesus fan. I dig him. I think he is like the cool, he is the bomb. I do not think he is the, I don't think that he is the exception. I think he is the example. I don't think that he is the one and only savior, but I do think that his teachings can help save people from pain. So I'm a huge fan, and if people would just kind of do what he teaches, if you just took his teachings and tried to practice those in your life, my God, you'd have a lot to do for your whole life, you know?
Right.
So I just dig him. I pray to him. I love him dearly. But that's a new idea today. That is not. I had to change my idea about Jesus the same way I had to change my idea about God. And I felt so inspired. There's so many people who call themselves Catholics or Lutherans or Christians who don't go to their childhood faith because it doesn't work for them. Mm-hmm. And so they're sort of stuck on the bridge. They haven't found anything new.
Right.
So they're just sort of in between. And so that book felt like it was important to write to that voice inside of me.
Yeah.
And for other people who, you know, the first couple chapters are really about helping you look at a new idea about Jesus. And I even do an exercise in the book where I have you like write a letter and just kind of like, you know, really get it out about what you thought, get all that cleaned out. And then the book goes into the seven last words that Jesus says on the cross, which actually are seven sayings. They're not words. Like mm-hmm. the first word is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the first saying that he says. It's a brilliant blueprint for transformation. When you're moving through transformation in your life, whether it be a divorce, a loss of a job, even just letting go of false beliefs about yourself, you're in a crucifixion resurrection process. Those seven words are a brilliant blueprint that will walk you from the crucifixion to your own resurrection. And I spoke on it one Sunday about 3 years ago on Easter Sunday, and like three different people came up to me at different times and said, that talk needs to be a book.
Mm.
And so like three people within an hour. And so I really took that into prayer and I said yes, and the book came out.
Mm.
So.
Well, and it's, and you had that mirrored back to you, which is what you had said earlier. Well, you know, it's very exciting, and we have, you and I have so much to talk about, but I definitely want to have you back on the show. But I want to just talk about Liberation 2010, because I was unaware that it was happening, and just in doing my research for this interview, have thought, how do I get to LA, and how am I going to make that happen, and actively thinking that, like, that could be a possibility. How do I get there?
Yeah.
This spirituality conference for the LGBTQ community, Liberation 2010, is happening April 8th through 11th in Los Angeles. Tell me a little bit about what is Liberation 2010.
I would love to. I'll try to make this story short, but I want to let you know first that when I graduated ministerial school 7 years ago this June, I was sitting with two ideas. One was to come to Chicago and birth the spiritual center, found the spiritual center, or work in the LGBT world, because that they both had my heart. Through my prayer and meditation, I was, you know, knew that coming to Chicago and birthing the Bodhi Spiritual Center was what I was to do. And actually, this isn't a gay community. It's a very diverse, inclusive, more straight than gay, but it's actually a nice faction of what the world looks like. So I put the LGBT vision on the shelf and just let that go. And about a year and a half ago, it fell off the shelf and landed in my heart and opened up, and it wouldn't leave me alone. So I knew that I needed to do something. And so again, like what I do is I pray, I meditate, I just listen. And I got the vision of this conference to have a gathering in Los Angeles, which is where I studied in ministerial school. And I love LA. I think it's hip and funky and a great place for us Midwesterners to go. And I had a vision of bringing us together for a weekend. Thursday evening, it begins Thursday night, April 8th, and ends Sunday, April 11th. And I imagined us spending this weekend together where we really bring, as I said earlier, our sexuality and our spirituality together, where we let ourselves be fabulous and beautiful and colorful and free, where we're not only showing up at other churches that love and accept us, thank you very much for that, I appreciate it, but we're showing up as ourselves, as our own power and presence, going in to discover our greatness and to reveal a greater sense of wholeness within each one of ourselves. I imagine people leaving on Sunday afternoon feeling so amazing about themselves as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, spiritual beings, and knowing that that's part of their calling. You know, part of the focus of the weekend is to help people move any idea that you have about yourself as being cursed into a calling, because wherever we've been wounded, it is through that wound, through that portal in which we discover God and help other people heal their own lives. So it's very important that we pause and we get together for a weekend and really look at that. And believe me, it's going to be so fun, amazing music, lots of laughs, real deep fellowship. It's for people. So many LGBTQ people are spiritual. We just need to wake it up and know that we don't have to give up our other parts of our lives. I think that's what scares people. That's the old school religion. Well, I can't go to the bars. I can't sleep around. I can't do this. You can do whatever you're going to do. you know, but mm-hmm. let's liberate your own spirit, and let's get you in touch with your own greatness, and let your choices start coming from that.
Yeah, I mean, because I think there's this idea that we lose our joy or become too pious or whatever. And I think, you know, we're gay people. We were put on this earth to be colorful and creative and outside the box and other than. We are other than. We are other than the mainstream. And there is value in that. Talk to me. You have some really amazing keynote speakers. Let's start there. Let's talk about who some of the speakers will be.
Yes, I'd love to. Byron Katie, if you've not heard of Byron Katie, B-Y-R-O-N Katie, she is an amazing spiritual leader of our time. She had a mystical experience about 26 years ago where she woke up one day and all her stories were gone, all her beliefs about the world were gone, and all she saw was the world as it is, and it was beautiful and good and perfect. And so she is out there. She's created this work of helping people turn their thoughts around, their negative thoughts about who they are. She has a simple process called The Work. And she's going to be there helping us challenge, and not even challenge, but just inquire and question the thoughts we have about who we believe we are as a community, as a people. So that's really important work. We have Melodoma Somme. I'm so excited he's going to be there. He's an African shaman. He comes from a tribe in Africa. And the reason I'm thrilled that he's going to be here and the reason we need his voice there is that he is he comes from a tribe where there is no homophobia. Where he comes from, the gay people were considered the spiritual leaders or the twin spirits, or what he calls the gatekeepers. They were the gatekeepers between the spiritual and the material world. And so he looks at this Western world like, what are you guys doing? Like, he doesn't look. So to have a man come and speak to us about a reality that exists on our planet, where there are places where, you know, it doesn't exist in their culture. And so I'm really thrilled for him to be there. And then also we have Gay Hendricks, who wrote The Big Leap and Conscious Loving. He has dedicated his life to discovering how to love consciously, how to really change your own way of being and how to step into your greatness. So he's also going to be there speaking along with myself and my co-host, August Gold, who is a lesbian Jewish woman from New York who is just kick-ass fabulous.
Really, I mean, there's so much diversity in that lineup. And you're also going to have a lot of workshops so people can kind of pick and choose what they're going to put in their spiritual backpack for the weekend, so to speak. So what are some of the workshops that people might experience if they attend?
Yeah, thanks. On Saturday, they'll have the option during the day to go to things on relationship, if you want to learn how to create healthy relationships, on aging, which is a really important issue for us as LGBTQ people, because remember, we've lost a large faction of our community to AIDS, and so that even if our large faction didn't die in the lesbian or transgender world, it did cause us to contract and, and kind of shrink. So aging is a really important issue. Parenting, for people that want to look into parenting. Lots of workshops on just building your, finding your purpose, finding your passion. There'll be workshops on bisexuality and lesbian issues. We'll have PFLAG there. They're going to be doing a workshop for parents and friends. We're endorsed by HRC. So they'll be there with the presence. So it'll be a nice opportunity for people to sort of, in the overall experience, they'll have an opportunity to say, now what other pieces would I like to add to make it a powerful weekend and to personalize it a little bit. The other thing I want to add is our Saturday night event. I'm so excited about this. It's the White Light Gala. It's for Teach Ministries. And Mary Lou Wallner is going to be one of the presenters there on Friday, one of the speakers. She's from the movie For the Bible Tells Me So.
Right.
Yeah, she was the woman whose daughter, she was a fundamental Christian. Her daughter was lesbian. She kicked her daughter out of the house as the church told her to do. She excommunicated her daughter, and her daughter ended up killing herself. And Mary Lou Wallner has since turned herself around through forgiveness and is now out there teaching other parents and people how to transition from fear beliefs into acceptance and inclusion. She's going to be there on Friday. And then the Saturday night White Light Party is to benefit her work in the world. And what I'm really excited about is we have Tony from the Ellen DeGeneres Show. He's going to be the DJ.
Oh, how fabulous.
It's so fabulous. He's going to be spinning. And we have other entertainers, famous lesbian entertainers that are going to be there who we can't say who it is due to other contract conflicts. But you must attend the White Light Party because it's going to be ridiculous fun.
Well, and I know Jason and DeMarco are going to be singing, and you have some people already listed on the website who are going to be entertaining. And I, one thing I have heard, and I think that we talked about this when he was on the podcast about 4, 5, 6 months ago. Levi Christ said he loved coming to the Bodie Center on for your services just because the music alone was so fantastic. You know, if it wasn't even just a great message, which it is, he said the music was so amazing. And his bar is pretty high musically now that he's probably on his way to winning the Tony Award for playing Jerry Lee Lewis and Million Dollar Quartet on Broadway now.
Exactly. Yeah, I love Levi. He's one of my girlfriends. he is, and you know it is true. The music here at Bodie is ridiculous. I mean, people get the best music on Sunday mornings. We've got professional musicians that love playing here, and they're hip and they're contemporary. We do really contemporary. We do like Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Love it.
We do really like contemporary music where people can just sing along, and it's just really fun.
Now, we should say for those who cannot get to Los Angeles but may live in the Midwest or in the Chicago area, if you would like to visit the Bodie Spiritual Center, definitely there's a website. We'll have that linked on our notes, bodiespiritualcenter.com. There are services on Sundays and on Wednesdays. Is anyone welcome? You can just come?
Absolutely. Anyone is welcome. Sunday morning at the Apollo Theater on Lincoln Boulevard, 9:30 meditation, 10 o'clock service. Check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to find out more about Mark Anthony, you can go to his website, markanthonylord.com. And find out about his books there and his blog and everything about him. And I do hope maybe you will be enticed as I am to try to see if you can get yourself to Liberation 2010. All the information and everything that we've been talking about, you can really look and research at liberation2010.com. It's going to be a great full weekend, and if you can be in the LA area for any part of it, I think it would be a gift to yourself. Mark Anthony, thank you so much for being on, and I hope that I can co-op you here live and say let's do this again very soon and talk some more, because I think there are a lot of issues here in the GLBTQ community that I'd love to hear your response to.
I would love to. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. So, Deb?
Yeah?
I think you should join me in L.A.
I think so. Listen, I want to keep singing, Oh, My Lord, Hallelujah. You know that song?
Yeah. No, I don't.
That's a great song. You don't know that song?
No.
It's like, George, I think it's George Harrison.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's the Beatle I know least, so.
Right. Well, he sings a song about Lord.
Oh, okay.
And then he says Hare Krishna.
Oh, he says Hare Krishna in it too?
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
that would be great. I'll go to L.A. Sure, I'll go to L.A. I'll leave Canada to go to L.A. That is not a bad suggestion at all.
It's not a bad suggestion at all. Well, hey, another thing that you could do is you could slip on down here this weekend as the big Gays Got Talent finals are this Saturday at Sidetrack, with our doors opening at 1 o'clock and the show. And this year it's really different. This year it's really just a big gay talent show. Starts at 3 o'clock. And we have some amazing judges. Mitchell Fain, one of our QueerCast hosts, who's with Second City and the Midnight Circus. Also, Amy Armstrong, diva and cabaret singer extraordinaire, who was actually on America's Got Talent last season. And then Claire Simon of Claire Simon Casting, one of the top casting agents in the city, who casts many or most of the films that come through Chicago, feature films and television. So it's going to be a really big, big show. We've got burlesque.
It is not to be missed.
It's not.
Put it on your calendar now. It is. And Sidetrack couldn't be a better venue for it. It is so perfect. Aside from the management being exceptional, the space is amazing.
Yeah.
Perfect for a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, and it's $10, and you get a drink with your $10, and you also are entered to win a pair of tickets on American Airlines. Somebody's going to win that day. So say we fill the bar and there are 500 people there, which we did last year in a snowstorm. It's not going to snow this weekend. You know, your odds are pretty good to win those American Airlines tickets. And plus, you're going to see a really great show, a great way to spend the afternoon. We have everything from male tribal belly dancing. We have an Amy Winehouse cover band that is phenomenal, House of Winehouse. We have Sammy, our quarterback princess, with her ukulele this year again. And Cary Grant, who is one of our former Windy City Gay Idols. And also Amy Kelly, one of our former Windy City Gay Idols. We have ballroom dancers this year. We have amazing comedians from Homer Mars to Bradley Thomas. We have some really, really great acts, plus a fabulous professional and published poet, slam poet CeCe Carter. So we've opened it up to some pros this year, and we have a Lady Gaga impersonator in the fabulous Phoenix O'Hara. So it's going to be a really great, great, great show.
That sounds amazing. I wish I was there. It's the first year in years I haven't been. Maybe I should get on the phone with my travel agent and see what I can do.
See what you can do. If not, you have to come to Idol. We're going to have to suss that out because, you know,
we will.
Miss Cleo is planning on coming to Idol this year, so it would be.
I knew she was going to say that. Oh, yeah. No, wait, she's the clairvoyant, not me.
Ah. Yeah, so everybody come out to Gay's Got Talent. Of course, the audience votes, and the audience also wins prizes. So somebody, one of the talented people, is going home as well with American Airlines tickets and $1,000 cash. So,
and because you won't say it, that's a great prize. And because you won't say it, expect that Amy Matheny wears something dazzling, eye-popping, super fly fantastic, complete potentially with something in the way of a drag queen heel. I'm just saying.
I don't know why I was going to dress down. Now you set the parameters high. I'm going to have to go.
I like you in a cash. I like you in a casual t-shirt, blazer, jeans, kind of boots sort of look.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't decided yet. I'm not feeling inspired, and that's got to happen really quick, right, in the next couple of days.
Listen, you wouldn't be Amy Matheny if a week before an event you knew what you were wearing. Are you kidding me?
Oh, well, you know, I had this dream last year that I was going to do Gay's Got Talent. My theme was going to be a, like, kind of a Snow Bunny, Dr. Zhivago meets.
I remember that.
And I
remember
could not.
You were talking about that. Yes.
I could not facsimilate it. I could not make it happen.
Enough.
Yeah. I couldn't make it happen. I don't even remember what I wore last year. What did I wear last year? I don't remember. No, you're thinking
a brown.
I wore a brown blazer, a gold blazer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wore gold. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to wear this year. Well, I guess come out to see that. And I'll have to take pictures for Deb if she doesn't talk to that travel agent and get that free ticket down here.
Yes, I need to do that. Don't they know who I think I am? I got to work on that.
You got to work on that. I mean, mm-hmm. The important people here know who you are. Why don't the little people know?
That's right.
You know? So what's this week going to be about for you, Deb Pierce?
Well, I'm working hard, and we're getting a lot of different kind of interviews, of course, lots of great plays in Toronto. Little House on the Prairie didn't get rave reviews. The best thing I could say about it in Toronto was Nellie, played by an actress from Chicago. And things like Young Frankenstein are opening. Rock of Ages is about to head into their 5 weeks of stage work before they open, and so lots of theater stuff happening. Of course, everyone's kind of gearing up for Pride here. It's our 30th Pride celebration, and I have been an official nominee for Honored Dyke this year.
Look at you. I honor you as a dyke.
I honor that you honor me, and I'm honored that you said that. Thank you very much.
I would never be honored as a dyke. It just wouldn't happen, but I'm glad that you are.
Well, I'm not even sure about the word dyke because I feel so queer. I feel like dyke is a bit of an aged expression, mm-hmm. But nevertheless, there's Grand Marshal and Honor Dyke, and it was brought to my attention that people were nominating me, so I put it on the official ProudFM.com website, mm-hmm. And you can click on to nominate me. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know what that means, and God knows What do you wear if it's not a tiara? What do you wear, like a some sort of baseball shirt for an honored dyke? What do you get for that, I wonder?
I have no idea.
Birkenstocks?
Mm.
Like something in the way of a sensible shoe, maybe? I don't
patchouli
know.
Patchouli for a lifetime? I don't know.
Lifetime supply of patchouli and Crocs.
Yeah.
What? Does anyone else visual Rosie O'Donnell right now? Anyone else?
I don't know. It's just doesn't scream sexy to me, Deb Pierce. You're far too sexy for that image.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm
going
to take that one away and continue to honor you as a dyke as opposed
Thank
to,
you.
I don't know.
Okay, so nice expensive jeans and a white tank top. How's that?
There
Better?
You go. That's really, okay. really good. Well, if we can vote for you, do we go to proudfm.com? What do we do?
Yes, please. You'll see it on the banner, or you can go to my actual show page and click on my head, which is right there in the middle of the page with a blue shirt and a white tie, and you can click on it and go through the motions of getting a link to Pride Toronto's website. And heck, just come up for Pride.
That would be
brilliant. At the
brilliant.
End of June this year. Yeah.
Brilliant. All right, well, that's a plan. So plan LA mid-April and then plan Toronto in June. And plan this weekend to be at Gays Got Talent at Sidetrack right in the heart of Boys Town. Get there early. Doors are opening at 1. You can have a cocktail, compliments of Sky Vodka or a Miller Lite, and then sit back and enjoy a really, really good show starting at 3.
Good
Deb,
luck to everybody who's in it. Good luck.
I will. I'll let them know. And Deb, I hope you have a fantastic week.
Thank you very, very, very much. It's been an honor and a pleasure to speak with you. And I didn't even get to talk to you about Stargaze.
Oh, we'll talk next time about it.
Okay.
But our honored dyke, Deb Pierce.
That's me.
We're honored to have you with us.
What if I don't get it? How embarrassing.
You're going to get it because we're all going to go vote for you right now at ProudFM.com.
Thanks, Amy Matheny. Have yourselves a great week.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now. I know just what you like.